Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm just going to open in prayer. Dear Lord, we come into your courts today with praise and thanksgiving. We come here today with thankful hearts, knowing that all things work for good to them that are called according to your purpose. We thank you that we're sanctified, we're made whole, and that our lives are already engraved in heaven. We thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we know that the greatest revival is on its way. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. You know, God always has the power to change the situation you're in. He's always got the ability to have... You know, it's not even necessarily the changing, right? Sometimes it's the lesson that's within the change. Sometimes when you're at a place and you're asking God, like, what is going on? He has the ability to change it all. But when you're seeing something happening in your life and you're like, why am I still here? Look to God for what He's doing. Because in every single thing that comes in your life, it works together for your good. The Bible tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And that's the thing, is that you are meant. If you're still here, He's still doing something. There's a power that's within you that's mighty. And that's what He's wanting us to start walking in, moving in, even just dwelling in, spending the time with, where we're communing one-on-one with God, where we're hearing what He has for us, when we're getting direction for what He wants for us, because it doesn't matter what comes against you in your life. He is working it for good for you. So if you just continue going after Him, you'll start to see what it is that He's doing in your life. You'll begin to see that the whole time He's giving you direction. The whole time He's giving you everything that you need. He's provided the needs that you have. He's given you freedom in areas where you need freedom. He's lightened the burden when you feel like it's too heavy to carry. He is always there in every moment. You gotta realize the power that you have because of who lives within you. Amen.
There's no better time than right now to praise Him. Psalm 67 says, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among the nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nation upon the earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield the increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I'll try to be quick because I got to practice what I preach. But when you come to church, do you come with expectation? But expectation of what? Right? So I want to read this to you. This is a little bit about what church should be. There's a few different passages, and it's in Acts chapter 2, and it's verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, they didn't just have the favor of other Christians. They had favor of all the people. But when we come to church, we shouldn't just be expecting to receive something, because we belong to one another. And what we should be doing too is we should be looking for ways to serve one another, to help one another, to encourage and build up one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, to each is given a manifestation of the gifts for the common good. Common good, not for your own good, but for the common good. Before Jesus went on the cross and he prayed to glorify himself in John chapter 17, he asked that we would all be one as a Father and him were one. Unity is a big thing too. If we do all this, if you want to see revival, you will see revival, because it's God's word and God's word does not return void.
Yes, he does want us to bless one another. And I believe that the Lord is leading me to pray a blessing upon all of you. And also healing, because I'm receiving in my spirit that there are people here that need healing, not only physically, not only spiritually, but emotionally, because they've been waiting on the Lord, which is what we should be doing. So the scripture I received is Numbers 6:24. It begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming before you, lifting up this church, and I am praying healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Isaiah 53:5 says that by your wounds they are healed. So, Father, I am lifting every person up here right now, Lord, that needs healing physically, spiritually, or emotionally. For, Father, there is nothing impossible with you. Your word says that with you all things are possible. Your word says that by Jesus Christ, we are healed. And I am declaring that healing over everyone here right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All of you that have been emotionally hurt, spiritually hurt, Jesus took it all. He took it all on the cross. He took it all. He shed his blood so that we could be healed. And so I'm claiming that healing now, declaring it and speaking it forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greetings. My name is Barbara, and the Lord sent me here. So grateful to be here. All of you precious ones who are here, I am so grateful, and I'm seeing all of these seats filled. And I am invoking the Holy Spirit to come forth now and to bless this precious church and all the people in this community, which is now widening and widening and widening. I see great openings in this world, in Tucson, in this whole area, and we are claiming this for the Lord. Each one of us is now coming forth in full power intensity with the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach in our world. And we accept this. We claim this. We claim this territory for the Lord. And we are taking it back. And I pray each one of you pray every day to dissolve all of these strongholds and all the things that have bound this area, bound this nation. We don't accept this anymore. Many of us are being sent here from all over the country and all over the world. We even met this week somebody's been here 2 months from Afghanistan. We met somebody from Iran. There's people coming here from everywhere, because this is the center and this is the hope. This is the hope of the world. Wow. Remember who you are, blessed ones. Remember because the Lord has given each one of us a special mission. He's given each one of us an assignment. Find that, I pray, within you. I'm still finding it. And it has been stirred in me, and it's about time. That's all I can say, it's about time. I've been through many things. I've lived many years on the East Coast and many years in the West Coast, and here I am. I just came here from the Midwest. So one never knows where you come from, where you're going, but if you're here now, the Lord has work for you to do here and now.
Amen.
Yes, and I'm praying that you all be stirred up, and I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will stir us and come forth, and the Lord will work with us as we step forward and we go for it and we recommit ourselves to His service. We are claiming this land for the Lord. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, it is done. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, I'm Buck. My name is James Myrie. That's what my mama gave me, but I go by Buck because my Uncle Buck, he was my idol, so much so I actually got it tattooed on me. But I come from Texas, and I went to a Catholic church growing up. I haven't been to church in a while, but as of 12/30/22, I'm a recovered heroin and meth addict. I gave it up. So I've worked through that, and I've worked through the program, and I've done really good. I've actually tried to sponsor other people now. So I've got a beautiful daughter and a beautiful fiance over there. And that lady talking just now, I just had to come up here and say something, because I have one heck of a story. I've come a long way, and I've gone through a lot of stuff. If anybody's ever been through anything really hard, they can't talk about it, you can talk about it in front of anybody, because I can, 100%. I was sexually assaulted as a kid. I've been through a lot. I was from 14 to this 12/30/22. It started at a rodeo, Criders, and it went from there. And I just went crazy. I had no consideration for anything whatsoever. And whenever I was younger, not just 4 years before, there was a pastor telling my mother and my dad that there was something in me special, that I was a different kind of person, that I would go up to be something. And I've never thought about preaching before, but I think I might consider maybe learning how to do that, or I don't know if you learn how to do it or if you just do it or what it is, but I feel something that I've never felt before, and I really like it here. Thanks, guys. Amen. Appreciate it.
Now it is.
Okay, thank you. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. A little hot. Amen. Praise God. There's no power like the name of Jesus. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Praise God. Come on, somebody. There's no power like the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, I was just thinking about the word of God. God says in His word that when He made everything, He looked at it and He said, it's all good. How many say amen to that? Amen. And then in Psalms, David writes down, he says, hey, the goodness of God is in all the earth. How many say amen to that? Come on. The goodness of God is in all the earth. Is that right? The goodness of God fills the earth. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Hey, quit looking at what you're looking if you can't say amen. Amen? Quit looking at what you're looking at. I mean, a lot of people come in and they say, oh, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, that's going on, this is going on, and it looks like we're losing the battle. We ain't losing nothing. How many say amen to that? Praise God. We are the kingdom of God on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Can I get an amen? Can I get a yeah? Come on. We are the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we're taking over, folks. Hallelujah. Man has looked at every solution they can as man to fix things. How many say amen to that? Now we're looking at artificial intelligence. How many, yeah, whatever that is. Doesn't that sound kind of weird to you? Artificial intelligence. Not real intelligence, artificial intelligence. Is that right? Is that right, Steve? Artificial. Well, we want the real thing. We got the real thing. Can you say amen to that? The real thing is in Christ. How many say amen to that?
Yeah.
That's God. How do you want to talk about AI? Hey, let's talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the real intelligence. Don't give me none of your artificial stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about how maybe this intelligence is picking up on all our conversations and creating things. And Steve was telling me this morning, we were talking a little bit about it, how even computers are coming on after you've said something. It'll actually listen to you. And you brought up the site that you need because it heard you say something about it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's artificial intelligence. Jesus hears everything. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He knows everything about you. He cares about you more than you even know. Can you say amen? And he's going to take you through everything. Who cares about what the world is doing? The earth is filled with the goodness of God. It is full. Look around for the goodness of God when you're walking through the store. Look around at that nice looking piece of a nectarine. Look at the goodness of God in this nectarine. Amen. Hallelujah. Pick up a pineapple. Tell somebody around you. Look, that's the goodness of God right there with a pineapple. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Quit looking at the things you're looking at and start looking at Christ and what he's done for you. The glory of God is in all the earth. Hallelujah. The goodness of God is in all the earth. Hallelujah. But it takes the people of God to see and understand that it's there. Do you say amen to that? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. We're here. We're here. God told Adam, he says, hey, man, you know what? Take over the earth. Is that right? Subdue the earth. Take dominion over the earth. Adam probably saying, well, I'm just a gardener, man. What are you talking about? I'm just a gardener. But Adam had the Spirit of God in his life. Adam had the Spirit of God to take dominion, to subdue. And then you get this measly little snake coming in, talks to Eve, and says, hey, did God say? Folks, it's still happening today. Do you know that? That little serpent's still coming in. And he's trying to get in and say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're still sick. Your body says you're still sick. Still, see, that's that guy still coming in. Yeah. Trying to say, well, did God really say? Well, yeah. The blood of Jesus has washed away my sins, provided for me an entrance into the kingdom, provided for me the entrance into the throne room of God to stand right in front of Jesus and the Father. How many say amen? Because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and they're welcoming me in. They say, come on in. Tell me what you got. Tell me what you need. We already know, but we want to hear you say it. Hallelujah. Folks, we are designed to be in close communion with our God. Do you know that? To be hearing him at every moment of the day. That's where, when you hear him, you say, oh, isn't that the goodness of God right there? Isn't that right? Hey, look at that nice looking car going by. That's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Because God has given man certain ideas, certain intelligence, to build certain things. God has given that we are surrounded, folks, with the goodness of God. Do you know that? Hallelujah. But do you know that it's the wise in heart that understands this thing? How many like being wise in heart? How many like that? How many love Jesus? How many love that Jesus was wise when he was here? How do you like that? When Jesus showed up, man, those guys didn't know how to handle him. Is that right? Yeah. Woo! How do you handle the Word became flesh? All things were made by him. There wasn't anything that was made that wasn't... How do you handle that? They thought they could handle it. Is that right? Ooh, come on, man. They had no chance. I had a lady tell me one time, because I was talking to her about Jesus, and she goes, well, those are nice little ideals. But Henry, you need to step into reality. Reality, yeah. You see, it's nice to have that little thought and your little ideals. Folks, how many know that God, Jesus isn't an ideal? He is. I wish I'd have known this, because when she said that to me, I said, well, you know, hey, Jesus is a real thing. Yeah, well, that's nice. You know, she has these. But I didn't realize there's some things. Do you know that we have all these idealisms and whatever else you want to call them, realism. But the fact of the matter is, most of everything that we've seen are just nice thoughts. Is that right? Buddha, I don't know what Buddha thinks. I don't know. I don't look at Buddha stuff. Anybody look at Buddha stuff? Oh, okay, really. I don't know anything about Buddha. I don't know anything about Gandhi. I don't know a lot of his sayings. I don't bother myself with a lot of stuff. I didn't care before I knew the Lord. Why should I care now that I know the Lord? But there's a lot of little high-floating thoughts out there. Is that right? You see, but there's the difference with what Jesus, it's the all those thoughts and all that word that could be floating around out there just doesn't seem real. But all of a sudden, the word became flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The word became flesh. Now we have something very, very, very real. He became flesh. He wasn't just words on a page or words being spoken. He was flesh that walked around. Can you get what I'm saying to you? Woo, man, to me, he's so real. I'd love to run into that lady again and say, idealism, whatever, man. But guess what? The reality was Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. All those words, they're real. Can you say amen to that? When he tells you that by his stripes you have been healed, there's a reality in it. It's real. Just hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Don't let anything talk you out of it. It's real. It will do what he says he will do. Am I a God? This is what he said. Am I a God that I should lie? Am I a man that I should say, tell you things that aren't true? No. What he says will come to pass. Just like in the beginning, he told Adam to subdue. He's given him his pattern for life. Subdue the earth. Take dominion over it. He told Daniel, he says, there's a kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom, and it will never be destroyed. You see, this is the kingdom we're in. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, kings and priests. We are that kingdom in the earth today. And we are real. It's not just a Sunday morning thing, folks. How many say amen to that? It's not just Sunday morning. You are real. You are a reality in this earth that God has planted here. Hallelujah. To plant the earth, to seed the earth, to put in seeds and watch them grow, to water them. Can you say amen to that? That's who you are. That's his kingdom. Hallelujah. And this kingdom is breaking loose. Go to your neighbor. Do that, man. Come on, loosen up a little bit, y'all. Come on, man. This kingdom's breaking loose. It really is. It really is. It really is. It really is. It's going to shine like it's never shone before. What you see is a darkness. Quit looking at that darkness. Start watching for the light. Start looking for this light that is going to overwhelm and overtake the darkness. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. It is he that dwells in you. They cannot resist the wisdom of your words. Do you know that? They cannot resist them. They can't fight them. Oh, God. In you, the hope of glory. It is the kingdom. It is what God had planned from the beginning. That man would rule the earth, his earth. The earth is whose? Whose? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to him. And he gave it to us, to those that believe him. How many believe God this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a, let's sing this one more time.
While Pastor was speaking, I just have a verse for you. That's it. But the verse is Colossians 2, and it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him and established the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Yes. So just like he was saying, being rooted and built up in the faith is more powerful than anything. That's what makes us abound. Learning how to live in what he's telling us to do, the directions he's giving us, the ways he's wanting us to go, the moves he's wanting us to make. It's all abounding when it's in him.
Yeah, come on. Thank you. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah.
Amen. I am convinced. Is anybody else convinced? This week has been interesting, to say the least. But I feel, just as a summary, I read this morning a scripture that was the scripture of the day. And it's Romans 8:18. It says, "I am convinced." Paul is speaking. It says that my suffering, or that any suffering we endure, is less than nothing. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And this scripture says, "I am convinced that any suffering is less than nothing." So there's a contrast there. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his son to seek and save that which had been lost, that which had been forfeited. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It is for freedom that he set us free. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Verse 19 says, and this has been a message that we've been hearing over the past few weeks, months, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, intense anticipation, anxiously waiting, anticipating what is about to happen with an outstretched neck. I see the angels in heaven looking over this cloud or whatever. What is Randall going to do? What's that going to do? I can see them looking over at us. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? Anticipating what is about to happen. Not when death takes us to heaven, but what is going to happen. I'll stop right there because there's more.
I didn't think I had anything, you know. Liz said, "You got a word, show." But the word was for Barbara, but then the Lord gave me this. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed."
So I've been back for about a week and traveled to see each one of my family members. And along the way, I lost my glasses. And I saw a lot of lost family members and I saw a lot of darkness. But for the grace of God, and without my eyes, I saw God and I saw him there. And I want to stand in agreement with this lady and with this man and with him. And he's saying, and we were all like, they're all standing right there. And but for the grace of God, he's right there. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be so much more and so much bigger. And so in the midst of all the darkness that I saw in this last past week, but for God, he's there. He's right there. And he's there for them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, guys. Thank you, family, so much.
I just wanted to share the scripture. Earlier you had mentioned a scripture. I tried to race to it really quick, find it, so I could highlight it in my Bible. But I didn't. I'll have to ask you after church what it was. But this one was revealed, and it kind of talks about a lot of what was said earlier. It says, it's in Isaiah 58. I believe you called out Isaiah 58. And this verse says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will build the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings.
I have one more thing to say. So something I've always really believed in heavily, and something the Lord says, we are not to judge one another. That is not our place
yes,
at
right.
all. And so you cannot judge someone on their past. You judge them what they do with the present and plan to do with the future, right? And so this people judging each other, that would be the devil, right? So why is it continuous all over? Why, you know, as a young man, me, I could feel it. And it's, I think that I found a way now to counter that. That's with the Word of God. And I'm gonna do that. And this is something that I felt for a long time. I've walked past churches, and I've walked past this one specifically a lot. And I've always just felt like, yes, drawn to it, compelled to go, and I don't know why, but now I feel why, and I keep wanting to come up here and talk more, and I don't like talking in front of people, y'all. This is not, you know, so I just feel it 100%, and I'm gonna be here every Sunday, so I really, more's coming.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. How many have sensed the Holy Spirit in there this morning? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He's here to do what he likes to do. He likes to touch and heal and strengthen his people. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. Not because I'm on it, because you guys are awesome. Man. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. That's the power of it. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Not before, but after the Holy Ghost has come on you. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I better get to preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. That was just a little bit of a, I don't know, whatever that was. Praise God. Yeah. If you will, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. We're gonna talk a little bit about Jesus. How many love talking about Jesus? I mean, he was the greatest thing this world has ever seen. How many say amen to that? Yeah, I mean, and I just love looking at him and how he deals with folks. You know that Jesus never tried to lift himself up. He even told parents and he raised a little girl from the net. He said, "Hey, don't tell anybody." Anybody remember Don Francisco was a guitar player back in the 70s or whatever. He sang a song about that guy that Jesus told him, don't tell anybody. He says, but I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. Amen. Hey, they're going to look at his daughter and they know she was dead. I mean, they're going to find out. But he says, I got to tell somebody. I mean, that's what Jesus did for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just looking at Jesus. Just looking at him, just reading about him, hallelujah. When you're born again, when there's something going on within you, it changes things. Can you say amen? You begin to see that this guy was, he had an agenda. How many of you know that? Jesus had an agenda.
Oh, yeah.
He had his agenda was to do his Father's will. Amen? He is our example. That's a good word for you right there. He's our example. You need to be doing what your Father wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
That should be A number one on you. Is that right? Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and then everything else will be added to you. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good news. But here we're going to look at Jesus, and I love looking at him and how he deals with these Pharisees. Amen? But in Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 13, this is what the Word of God says. Hey, pray with me real quick. Father, I just thank you for your Word. I thank you, Lord, that... Lord, thank you that you have chosen us. That we are a peculiar people, as your Word has said, Father. We are a chosen nation. We are of the nation of the kingdom of God. Your nation. One nation. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch hearts this morning. Lord, let folks hear things they haven't heard in a while. Renew and refresh those things, Father God, within the hearts of your people. Father, today is the day that you have made. And Lord, we do rejoice in it, and we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. Help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. You agree? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 13. The Bible says, and they sent unto him the Pharisees, sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said to him, Master, we know that thou art true. Can you imagine that? They're really calming themselves. Master? Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, am I your master? And he says, Master, we know that you are true and you care for no man. For you regard not the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? Crazy, huh? Shall we give or shall we not give? Sounds like something. And but he, knowing their hypocrisy, everybody say hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Everybody know what a hypocrite is?
Yeah,
okay, well, good. We're going to go with it. Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why do you tempt me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. This is one of the simplest things that I love that Jesus did. And they brought it, and he said to them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said to them, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And the last part right there is, and they marveled at him. I love this, and you know, where it says he's seeing their hypocrisy. You see, the Pharisees and the Herodians were like the Crips and the Bloods. Does that make a good... They were never together in anything. Nothing. They didn't agree on anything. So for them to go to Jesus, for them to be together... Hey, there was a time where Jesus had gone into the temple, and wrote this down. I just wrote the one scripture. But he went in the temple, and the Pharisees were watching to see what he would do. So he goes in, and there's a man with a withered hand. You guys remember that? There's a guy with a hand, he's withered. And Jesus goes, and he looks, and Jesus knows their thoughts. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great about Jesus?
Amen.
You can't hide anything from him.
No.
You might think you're hiding, but you're not hiding. There is no place to hide, folks. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Those things that you say, those things that you do,
yeah.
No place to hide. Just come clean and say, God, take care of it. Amen. Anyway, he knows their thoughts, and they're watching to see what he'll do. So he tells the man, stand up. The guy stands up. And he says, and looks around, he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, to do good or to do evil? And they don't say anything. They're quiet. These are Pharisees. You know what they think. We know what they think. No, it's not lawful to do that kind of stuff. See, the Pharisees were waiting for the Messiah. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Pharisees were waiting for the Messiah, but Jesus didn't fit their pattern. Because he tells that man, he goes, stretch forth your hand. Stretches out his hand, and it's healed. He healed him.
Amen.
right there in the temple on the Sabbath day when he ain't supposed to be doing nothing. Is that right? So this is Mark chapter 3, but verse 6, I want you to look at this. Verse 6, Mark chapter 3, verse 6 says this one. The Pharisees went forth, this is right after he had healed this guy, straightway and took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. You see, these two sects, if you will, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they were used to battling each other. You see, when they went to Jesus, they had a question. Should we pay tax or shouldn't we? You see, the Herodians were part of Herod's bunch. They were Jews, but they were strongly involved with Herod and the set up government. And so their government, they said, hey, you know, the best thing to do with Rome is just pay taxes. Let's pay taxes. The Pharisees, on the other hand, we don't want to pay taxes. We pay taxes to Rome. That shows that we are in submission to them, and that makes them over us, and we are God's people. So the Pharisees did not want to pay taxes. The Herodians did want to pay taxes because it would keep them out of trouble. Is that right? Don't pay taxes, and what's Rome going to do? They're going to invade them. They're going. Well, they said, "Well, we'll come in and we'll talk to you about it." Is that right? And it won't be pretty. So these two guys, they're against each other, but right now they had one enemy that they thought, "This Jesus, we got to get rid of him. We're after him. Let's get all the Crips. Let's get all the Bloods. I think the." We'll call the Pharisees the Crips. And we'll call the Herodians the Bloods. Let's get these two gangs together so that we might destroy this guy. How many of you know you can't destroy the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh, man. So he tells them, Jesus, I love the simplicity in what he says. Okay, show me a coin. So they toss him a coin, and it's got an image on it. And said, whose is this image? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And Jesus says, well, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But the word that is so important is give unto God what belongs to God. And I just want to ask you, in your house, do you give unto God what belongs to him? Do you know that praise and worship belongs to him? Do you know that he has saved you? And he has loved you. And thankfulness and gratitude and all those things belong to him. Amen. When was the last time you just spent the evening just praising God and asking him, you know, all by yourself, just you and God, where nobody else can see? See, because sometimes we like to be open about stuff. Is that right? We want everybody to know that, hey, I like to praise God. Well, hey, that's okay. But how many of you have just taken the time and just say, in your home, just say, man, God, I'm just going to worship you and praise you because I love you. I'm going to give you what I owe you. Amen? I can't pay you back, but oh, I can love you. Oh, I can set my heart upon you. Hallelujah. Ooh, God. Hallelujah. How many know he's a good God? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Jesus is saying something in Genesis 1:26. He says, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give unto God what belongs to God. Here's what Genesis says. God said, let us make man in what?
In our image.
Right there. There it is. Yeah. Whose image is this? Well, it's Caesar's. Well, he tells him, well, give God what belongs to him. See, we're in his image. It's a nice little story. And he goes, hey, I think they got it. How many say amen to that? Come on, somebody. I think they were saying... Oh, wait a minute. Whose image is this? I know it was Jesus' heart. I know Jesus. I'm gonna give him a stumper. Whose image is on the coin? Well, whose image are you? Amen. Give unto God what belongs to him. Here's what God says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 14. It says this. Lo, behold. If he beget a son... that sees all his father's sins. I think I got that wrong. That might be. I think I got it wrong. Don't worry, Liz. You're good. Okay? 18:14. Let me look. Let me look real quick. I'm sorry. We're just going to forget that one for now. How's that? Praise God. But we're not going to forget it because I can tell you what it says. God says in Ezekiel, he says, all souls are mine. How many say amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody, you know, everybody belongs to God. Is that right? He created this. And he says, I'll take responsibility. All souls are mine. Yeah, even those guys that are out there doing things. Yeah, even that administration and that government. Yeah, they all belong to him. Everybody will answer to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How many say amen?
Amen.
Can you go with that? Hallelujah. The Bible says that they marveled at him. There was many times that they marveled at Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 31 through 32 says this. Still, many in the crowd believed him, and they said, when the Messiah comes, will he perform the signs of this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. See that? Here's this. These guys are listening to Jesus, and they're saying, hey, man, I don't know about what he's saying, but now the people are saying, hey, that he's doing more miracles. And so we better do something about it. So they sent the temple guards to go arrest him. And later on in that chapter, John chapter 7, verse 45 through 46, those guys come back. The temple guards come back. And finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, Why didn't you bring him in? And this is what they said. Hey, nobody's ever spoke the way this man does.
Amen.
The guards replied, hey, nobody's talked like him. How powerful are words, folks? Words are powerful. And when they heard that, man, you know, these, even the temple guards say, man, there's something different about this guy. I think it would be wise if we maybe pay more attention to what he's saying than what we think he's trying to do. In the NIV, it says, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priest. Oh, I'm sorry. In the TPT, it says this. Get you. So when the temple guards returned to the Pharisees, leading priests without Jesus, they were questions. Where is he? Why didn't you bring that man back with you? They answered, you don't understand. He speaks amazing things like no one has ever spoken. That's the TPT. How many like the flavor in the different translations? I mean, I love the different flavors and everything, but all just to say that he's like nobody we've ever seen in our lives. Huh. I think, folks, I hope the church hasn't lost the amazement of who Christ is. Do you know what I'm saying to you? He is absolutely amazing. He, and what's cool about him, he will meet with you anytime you want. His door is never closed to you. He's always got an open door to you. Amen? Hallelujah. He always wants to talk. Huh. Hallelujah. Here's an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 1:30. What I loved about Jesus is his wisdom. That wisdom that created the heavens and the earth. And here's that. It is not from man that we draw our life, but from God. As we are being joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Now look at this part. It says, and now he is our God-given wisdom. Where's your wisdom come from? It's Jesus, amen? He is the person. He is the person of wisdom. He is wisdom all wrapped up in one. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you got a hold of, you get a hold of Jesus, you got a hold of wisdom. Is that right? And see what's cool about God? He's always wanting to reveal things to you. He's always trying to show you things. He wants to reveal things, Darren, to you, that he hasn't revealed to Randy. Tommy, he's revealing things to you that he hasn't revealed to me. Amen. Because we're all different. Is that right?
That's it.
Is that right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're different. Yeah, yeah, you're different. You're different. Yeah. And see, and what Buck said up here a little while ago, he says, man, we cannot, absolutely cannot be looking at one another and making any kind of these kind of little, our own mindset judgments. Is that all right? You can't do that. You just can't do it. You have to. You have to. Pay attention to what God is saying. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Huh. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says this. This is the power verse, by the way. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, I said it this morning, Hispanics, Tucsonans, Rio Ricans, right? Steve, where's Steve? Rio Ricans. What city are you out of? Yeah.
Crowley.
Crowley.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, all you Fort Worthians. Is that right? Yeah. Bisbanos. I don't know what else to call it. Bisbians. Is that right? Sounds like a busy bean. But Bisbians. All of you, he says, but unto you what you're called, Jews, Greek, no matter where you're from, if Christ is in you, he says, Christ is the power of God and he's the wisdom of God in you. Do you know that?
Amen.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Are you confident in it?
Yes.
See, God wants you confident in who you are and what he's doing in your life. Be confident of what he is that's within you. He is your wisdom. Is that right? Yes. Why would you go to all these lawyers? Everybody's going, uh-oh. Why would you go anywhere else? Jesus already said it. Seek first this kingdom. How many know that Jesus, not only is he is the unchanging person of this kingdom, but he is the kingdom, folks. Do you know that Jesus is the kingdom?
Hallelujah.
There ain't no other kingdoms. It's him. He is the revealed kingdom that came to the earth and came into your heart.
Yes.
And he's the wisdom of God in you. That's cool, man. I love it. Hallelujah. Let's read that in the TPT if we could. But for those who have been chosen to follow him, if you've been chosen to follow him, raise your hand today. Man,
amen.
I'm just going ahead and put two hands up. Yeah, I'm just going to put two hands up. Hey, I've been chosen. Yeah, but to those who have been chosen to follow him, both Jews, Greeks, Bisbanians, Tucsonans, he is God's mighty power, God's true wisdom, our Messiah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's who he is to you.
Hallelujah.
He is wisdom in your life.
Amen.
He gives you wisdom. When he said to us, Mary goes, enter into your closet. Shut the door, I say. Right? Shut the door. Get in that closet and shut the door. And in secret, my Father will see you in secret. And God reveals secret things in secret places. Do you know that?
Yep.
We ought to be people that our biggest habit is being in the closet, in that secret place with God. Hey, I don't know where your closet is. That's between you and God. It can be in your pickup truck. Amen. It can be on your way to work. It can be anywhere. But get into that closet because that is where he will reveal things to you. We are a kingdom that the Word of God calls the body of Christ. The body of every part working, doing its function for the rest of the body. Is that right? What if the heart just decided one day to jump out? It wouldn't do the rest of the body too much good, now would it? Every part should be ministering to every part. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. That's what God has been talking to us about. Let the body of Christ minister to the body of Christ. Every part doing their part. Is that right? Every part doing the part, and you're a part. Amen?
Amen.
You are a part. Hallelujah. It's His wisdom. His wisdom. It's not like our wisdom. Got to get rid of our wisdom. Amen? Folks, I learned how to do a lot of stuff in my, well, I'm only 30 years old now, but yeah, right. I see you laughing, Jake. Yeah, all right. In my 70, okay. Never mind. I've learned a lot of stuff. But the stuff that is most important is the stuff that's come out of here. I've chosen to serve Him, to do what He's called me to do, and be confident in it. Can I tell you, you got to know this, that I was very unconfident in this thing. I felt very unacceptable, if you will. I felt, hey, man, God, hey, I didn't even go to college. Some of you, I mean, there might be a run to the door with this stuff. I didn't even go to college. I went to high school, got a high school, and went to work. Didn't get any kind of formal training of anything except for compressors. And come on, man. Yeah, that's right. But when God called me to do this, I said, God, He got the wrong guy. Wrong guy. That's all I could say. My son kept telling me, shut up. Shut up, Dad. I got all those little things from people. Well, who God calls, He equips. Yeah. Well, just, you know, it takes a while to get your mindset off of, I've been ill-equipped. God, what kind of equipment did You give me?
Word of God.
But my son brought me a book, and it was written by Stephen Furtick. Anybody ever heard of Stephen Furtick? He gave me a book, and it was called... What was it? Unacceptable? What was it called? Unqualified. Thank you. Unqualified was what it comes with. And it was about Stephen Furtick, who was a young preacher in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this guy, he heard on a radio the guy talking. Charlotte, North Carolina is a very Christian city, kind of. I mean, you know that. Billy Graham is a kind of the Bible kind of thing. I mean, there's... They got a lot of preachers in and out of there. But so there was a radio station that Stephen was listening to, and he heard the guy saying, I'm going to run some names through you, and you just tell me what you think. He'd run a name, and the guy would say, oh, yeah, he's a mighty man of God, and name another name. But then when he said Stephen Furtick, and Stephen's church was busting out in Charlotte, he goes, unqualified. So he goes, well, man. So he recorded it. He got a recording of it, and he sent it to all his leadership. This is what they think about me. The thing is that's how I feel about myself. He said, with one word, that guy pinpointed how he felt. So when I was reading this book, I wept like crazy. And I felt God saying to me, He says, look, I have chosen you to do this work. Amen. Not for somebody else to, who cares what everybody else says about it? I've chosen you. Okay. All right, God. I still think you got the wrong guy. But God has built me and strengthened me to a place where I'm pretty confident in what God is doing in my life. And I know that speaking to you as the body of Christ, He's given me some visions and He's shown me some things that I am here to build the body, to strengthen the body, to help the body to see things they had not seen before. Let me say that eyes not seen or not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him. God is using this little Mexican that never went to college and went to work, never bought anything cash, except for the candy bars, but never bought a truck. My vehicles were all paid on time and everything. And God paid this thing off in one smack. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
kind of lets you know that God says, I'm going to provide for you no matter what. How many say amen to that? Whether you know it or not, I'm going to do it because I have placed my hand upon you. Folks, this is, he's speaking the same thing to you. He's placed his hand on you, all of you, to do what he's called you to do. But folks, you got to spend time in his presence. He wants to fill you with the wisdom that comes by his will toward you. His will is towards you. You got to get out of all these little things that you're hearing from everybody else, and you need to spend your time in his presence, in his closet, and listen. And his will will be get clear, will become clearer and clearer and clearer, and the instructions will come with it. It's called wisdom. This is who he is. Brian, you asked for an infilling and more mind getting closer to God. Well, he's hearing that. He's hearing you. And he said, this could be, he said, I want you closer in that closet. Get closer. Everybody say, get closer. Tell your neighbor, get closer. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm gonna end this. I just want to read this to you. Rosie and I were we got up the other morning and it was July the 8th. I say amen. How many know how to read Proverbs? Anybody know? Well, you just get up and read. No, man. Well, I don't know. My easiest way is to look at the date, and that's where I'm at in Proverbs. Is that okay? There's only 31 chapters, I guess, in Proverbs. You might have to read an extra one somewhere along the line. But it was July 8th, and I got up, and Rosie told me, she goes, hey, I just got through reading Proverbs. It was really good. And when I started reading that, God began to say, hey, look, I am your wisdom. So I'm going to read it to you. Okay, you guys cool with that? All right, yep. We're going to read it, and we're going to go. Hallelujah. This is Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 1. It says, does not wisdom cry? Now, I want you to think about this as we're reading it, that Jesus is the wisdom, the person of wisdom. He is wisdom, okay? Think about it that way. So it says, so if it says, does not wisdom cry, you know, you might be thinking, but he's speaking out, okay? He says, does not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice. She stands in the top of high places, and by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I'm going to say and women, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. yeah. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. How many of you ever talked to somebody? You've got something, it's plain to you, but they just don't get it. How many of you have done that before? See, because wisdom dwells in you, God will reveal his word to you. It's a beautiful thing what he wants to do with you. Receive my instruction. Whose instruction? His. Yes. Receive my instruction. Wisdom's instruction is okay. And not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You can't compare nothing to wisdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because wisdom is Jesus. Jesus is he is one with the Father. Is that how many say amen to that? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They're one God. Steve was telling me the other day, he goes, hey man, let me show you. This is how you describe the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, as you will. One. Times one, times one. What does that make? Come on. It's one. One times one equals one. Times one equals one. We only got one God. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Wisdom. Wisdom is better than rubies, than things that may be desired are not to be compared. Wisdom dwell with a prudent and find out naughty. I'm sorry, naughty. Oops. No. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. Oh, yeah. Come on, man. And I will tell you something. That might have been a slip, but I'm going to tell you, he knows naughty. And he goes, that's not right. Can you say amen to that? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth I hate. What's a forward mouth? Forward is back and forward, back and forward. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. By me, listen to this, kings reign. Princes decree justice. I want you to just listen to me just for a minute. There's a lot of people. I spoke it the other day in Bible study because I felt the Holy Spirit really pushing on it. And there's a lot of people that say, well, I take authority over things, but yet they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to fill their hearts with the things that he wants them. They do not spend time in his presence. They do not listen for his. They are not standing at the gates waiting for him to speak. They're listening to every other voice rather than his voice. Can I tell you, folks, this will destroy. By doing that, it will destroy the authority that God is trying to get to you. Because you're listening to other voices rather than his voice. Hear me when I say this. Look, I'm just another voice. You're not to follow everything that I'm saying. I mean, you are to follow what he's saying to you. I'm just a man. Can you say amen? I'm just a man. But I am somebody that I love what God is saying to the church. You might not sense it, but boy, I sense it. I love what he's saying to the church. And what he's saying, he wants me to speak so that you can either pick it up or lay it down, whatever. But you got to look at it. Is that okay? Yeah. He wants you to look at these things. He doesn't want you following after men. Do you understand that? He wants you following after him. The word of God. That's what he wants. Hallelujah. Folks, this is a little bit different. This is one of those things where a church board would say, Henry, you're shooting our church in the foot. Is that all right? Isn't that right, Randy? That's right. That's right. Now, Tom. Linda, where are you? Yeah. These are the kind of things that, hey, a lot of churches want to draw people in, and try to figure out ways how to hold them. Is that all right? Not this church. We want the Holy Spirit to draw you in. And then when he's ready for you, he'll send you out. He'll send you out. I remember my pastor at the last church, he was telling me, he goes, Henry, I don't know what's going on. He goes, all the kids that come here, man, they're going to other churches now. I said, look, pastor, think about it this way. I told him, pastor, you got some big arms. He goes, what are you talking about? Man, you got some muscle arms, pastor. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, these are all little arrows. And you, pastor, you're getting them ready, you're polishing them up, and you're sending them out. Doing what they are called to do. Is that all right? Yeah. Folks, we're not called to corral people. Is that right? We're not here to corral folks. We are here to build and strengthen the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. It's a little different. But it's a kingdom. Don't have to worry. Because they're being shot out into the kingdom somewhere. Can you say amen? These are kingdom arrows. Anyway, I got to keep going. Where am I at? Verse 15. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. It is your foundation of spending your time with God and hearing what he's saying to you in your closet that will get this to you. You'll reign and princes will you'll declare things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Somehow the church has been into this. Oh, yeah, well, I have the authority. Yeah, well. Make sure you're doing what God has told you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then it says, by me, princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early will find me. Can you say amen to that? They seek me. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. And it's funny how he's mentioning all these things, these what we go for in the world. Isn't that right? He mentioned it earlier, gold and silver. Now he's mentioning it again, gold and silver. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Can you say amen? How many have found out he's better? He's better. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Can you say? Come on, somebody. He wants you to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I will set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. You know, the word of God says that Jesus helped create the heavens and the earth. Here he's talking about it a little bit. Well, as yet you had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass the commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that hears me. He says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life. How many say amen? How many like life? and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. In verse 36, he ends it with this verse, talking about wisdom, who he is. But he that sins against me, he wrongs his own soul. All that hate me, in their hate, they love death. Isn't that weird? They that hate me, they love death. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Another translation says, get discernment. Getting wisdom is the principal thing, but with all you're getting with this wisdom, let understanding come in. It's discernment. It helps you to understand what he's saying to you, and it helps you to understand what's going on out there. Can you say amen to that? Proverbs 24, verse 3 says this. Through wisdom, I like this, a house is built.
Yes.
And by understanding, it's established.
Yes.
By wisdom, it's built. Understanding, it's established. But it takes wisdom and understanding to make them both. The understanding comes with the wisdom by revelation. Do you say amen? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. You can read and read and read. That's why there's scriptures say that there's scholars out there that are reading this book and they don't get it because they haven't given Christ. They haven't let Jesus into their hearts so that he can open it and give them understanding. There's a lot of good things in the Bible that you hear people quote. How many know that? How many folks have quoted you scriptures and you know they're not living right? How many know that? I've heard them say things to me, and I said, yeah, that's right. But do you know that he sees your heart? How many of you know that? How many know that Jesus sees everything that you do? You can't get away from him. Could you stand? Hallelujah. He is wisdom. He's your wisdom. If you allow it, he will open the doors of all these things he has prepared for you. Brother Ape, where are you, brother? These young men, can I tell you this young men, hey. These guys will be preaching the things of God soon. Like today, tomorrow, next week. Yeah, right. No, but really, I'm serious. I mean, Henry can't be pastor all the time. Is that right? God is raising young men. Tommy over there. Yeah. Oscar. Yeah, Victor, yeah. Davin, yeah. God is raising young men with the wisdom and the knowledge that the kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. Jesus is an unchanging person. And you watch, folks. Things you're seeing here, God has reminded me and reminded me, you can't go by what you see, Henry. You can't go by what you see. Sometimes we give when maybe we shouldn't be giving this. But see, the kingdom gives. Yes. So we're the kingdom, so we give. Yep. We help. We do things. With leading, of course. How many say amen to that? Amen. You know what's cool about it? You can pray and you can find out from God, do you want me to give? Do you want me to go? Do you want me? You can find out. Amen. If you don't know, is that right? God gives wisdom to his people. And he'll carry you. He'll take you. He'll help you to understand. Is that okay? Come on. Praise God. He's a good God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I like different. Huh? Yeah. Does anybody else like different? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think today was a little different.
Yeah.
It was good, though. Yeah. Stay here all day. In fact, I'm going to read all this, and we're going to stay here a few more hours.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, especially when we're talking about wisdom. To me, it's something that, I find so important because, God says it's important. There's so many, hardships in our life we probably don't have to go through because we don't have that wisdom. If we get that wisdom, we can make our lives so much easier. Okay? Doesn't mean we still don't struggle. Doesn't mean we still don't go through some things. But we always know that God's there to give us hope. I love this right here. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. That's Proverbs 3:13. It's just, I was saying earlier is about building up one another, having that sense of expectation, not just to receive something, but to serve somebody, to offer something in return. All that stuff is from wisdom because it was in the Bible. It says that's who we're supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to show the world that, this is what a Christian is. That's how we make it appealing to people. We won't have to shout scripture at them or anything. They'll just see our lives and say, I want that. So, if you would, let's pray. Bow your heads with me.
Lord, I just ask that you help us to gain wisdom, that we hear your spirit so loudly that there's no denying what you're saying to us. That when we read your word, and that we have a hunger for your word, God, but that when we read your word, we gain understanding from it, something that can change our life, something that can change other people's lives, because we're helping and serving others through the word that you've given us. And God, I just ask that you help us turn that wisdom and knowledge of you into the love that you want us to have for one another. Lord, that we build up your church. We encourage one another. We serve one another. We love one another. And we come to that unity you prayed for in John chapter 17. So that the world may know that you are God and we are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. Dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.